The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We're back, final hour of the show at 8:02. Clouds are rolling in. Looks like some rain. Clearing tomorrow, 58, 63 sunny Monday, 67 by Tuesday. I feel a Harley ride in there somewhere. But apparently we have one basement-dwelling listener who doesn't really care about what I think. I felt his love this morning. His or her, it's maybe in transition, I don't know, love. Six of the president's. This is on the 710 CAN-US app, text to studio. Six of the president's closest advisors are now in or going to the slammer. Yeah, Roger Stone, boy, he really had the president's ear. Paul Manafort, who helped ferret the delegates through the 2016 Republican National Convention for the president, as he did for George Bush the first, really had a lot to do with policy decisions and everything else. But anyway, I digress. He's talking about Roger Stone, of course, and I don't know. I have not followed the Roger Stone trial. I think he's interesting. I've interviewed him. I've read some of his work. The dude's got a massive tattoo of Richard Nixon on his back, of Richard Nixon's face. So I guess you could call him an activist, but I just don't know enough about what he said, did, or whatever to comment. What I do just scratch my head over is how Hillary Clinton can delete or transfer or obscure 30,000 emails, use BeachBlit, beat up hard drives with a hammer, joke about it, laugh about it, and still years later, no legal consequences whatsoever. She lost an election. That was a pretty big deal. But no legal consequences whatsoever. And somebody like a Roger Stone is facing perhaps 20 years or more of his life in jail because he made the mistake in my book of agreeing to give statements to or answer questions. He probably should have taken the fifth from the very beginning. But I just don't know enough about it to comment on it. And in the scheme of things, it's a horrible thing for somebody to be facing jail. Donald Trump could pardon him, of course, if he thinks it's appropriate or necessary, that the wheels of justice have worked unequally against Roger Stone and others. We have Sidney Powell exposing all of the chicanery from within the justice system in her excellent, excellent appellate briefs and motions, not appellate briefs, in her motions that she's been filing to get her client, General Flynn, out of jail. We had her on a week or two ago and talked about that a great deal. And we email periodically. Good things happening. Hopefully a very positive ruling for General Flynn is coming up quickly. But back to the basement dwelling, he, she, or it. Six of the president's closest advisors are now in or going to the slammer. Everyone's entitled to wear what they want in public. Why would anyone comment on your choice of hats? Talking about me celebrating all the joy people get out of seeing a Keep America Great hat. At airports, TSA agents, military, police, passengers getting on or off a plane, sitting at the food areas or whatever. And I guess maybe he has a smartphone but doesn't access the internet to see what happens to some folks, especially older folks or women or people who are alone and unable to defend themselves against the Antifa mobs who will hurt them or grab their hats or tear down their displays or do whatever because they object to someone expressing support for the president of the United States. He continues, get a life, Corcoran. That's Mr. Corcoran to you, he, she, it. No one gives enough of a bleep to say anything to you. However, rest assured that 60% of them think you're a bleeping, spineless moron. And he put all that in caps. So I'm feeling the love. It's one of these guys who, of course, never picks up the phone and dials 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. We'll get to the phones in just a second. I like this one. We've got listeners just all over the country. Love our regular listeners in Kentucky and Kansas, especially in Pittsburgh. You know who you are. In St. Louis, in North Carolina. If you're listening to the show on the app or online and you can send me an email or a text, just love to know what state you're listening in from. That is a really big deal as far as I'm concerned. Got a text earlier from John from Highlands Ranch, listening in this morning from Lodi, California. Pretty darn cool. Bet he can't wait to get the heck out of there. A good question on the 710 text line. Doesn't the bribery term in the Constitution for impeachment refer to the president giving a bribe? Article 3, Section 4, Disqualification says, the President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason. Scratch that. Bribery. Scratch that in my mind. Or other high crimes and misdemeanors. I don't think, and if somebody knows differently, they can correct me, but I haven't read anything that says the bribery can't be either direction. If the president was, in fact, bribing the president of Ukraine, then that could be an impeachable offense. Now, asking a foreign leader to investigate corruption just because the corrupt people happen to be, one of them happens to be running for political office, doesn't change the treaty that the U.S. has with Ukraine or the right of a government to have help in investigating corruption of its own public officials that occurred in a foreign country. But whether the president for receiving a bribe or giving a bribe, I think the impeachment clause would apply either way. Absolutely do. More text, listeners up in Wyoming, got to love it. And real quick, if you didn't hear this clip, if you're just joining the show, this is 30 seconds that I think really just sums up all that there was to get from an entire week, 2 days, three star witnesses in the Democrats' impeachment hoax investigation. This was John Lewis in Utah.
Do you have any information regarding the President of the United States accepting any bribes?
No.
Do you have any information regarding any criminal activity that the President of the United States has been involved with at all?
No.
Thank you. Thank you for answering that directly. The American people know this is nonsense. The American people know this is unfair.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Do
it's
you have
it's
any information?
So very obvious. And Ambassador Yovanovitch went further. She answered this question repeatedly and when it was asked in different ways. Listen to her. This is just from yesterday.
August 22nd, 2016, and left Ukraine permanently on May 20th, 2019. There are a number of events you are investigating to which I cannot bring any firsthand knowledge.
There are a number of events you are investigating to which I cannot bring any firsthand knowledge. But I got to tell you, my feelings were hurt when the president relieved me of my duties in Ukraine, basically at the request of Ukrainian officials, it sounds like, only 3 months before her original gig was set to end anyway. Of course, the star of this impeachment charade from the Republican side, there's a couple of real stars, and one is Jim Jordan. The other, though, is Representative Elise Stefanik, who Adam Shifty Schiff has shut down repeatedly. And really played the man card on. If you were a leftist, that's what you would say if it had been a Republican leader of this investigation who did that to a woman Democrat. But here's just a brief segment, and then we'll get to our full lines. Elise Stefanik grilling Ambassador Yovanovitch yesterday.
And you also testified that the Ukrainians thought it would be a good idea to set up this architecture of a special investigative office that would be all about the crimes of corruption, correct?
Yes.
And I know this was before you arrived in Ukraine, but you are aware that the first case that the U.S., U.K., and Ukraine investigators worked on was, in fact, against the owner of Burisma.
Yes.
And that was during the Obama administration.
Yes.
And in your testimony, you said today, the investigation was never formally closed because, quote, it's frankly useful to keep that company hanging on a hook, right? That's your quote.
Yeah, the Ukrainian investigation was never closed.
Partnered with the U.S. and the U.K.
As I understand it. Yeah, although because we didn't see the Ukrainians moving forward on that, we no longer partner with them on that case or in that way.
But let's take a first step, a step back. The first time you personally became aware of Burisma was actually when you were being prepared by the Obama State Department for your Senate confirmation hearings. And this was in the form of practice questions and answers. This was your deposition. And you testified that in this particular practice Q&A with the Obama State Department, it wasn't just generally about Burisma and corruption. It was specifically about Hunter Biden and Burisma. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And the exact quote from your testimony, Ambassador, is, quote, the way the question was phrased in this model Q&A was, what can you tell us about Hunter Biden's, you know, being named to the board of Burisma? So for the millions of Americans watching, President Obama's own State Department was so concerned about potential conflicts of interest from Hunter Biden's role at Burisma that they raised it themselves while prepping this wonderful ambassador nominee before her confirmation. And yet our Democratic colleagues and the chairman of this committee cry foul when we dare ask that same question that the Obama State Department was so concerned about. But we will continue asking it. And lastly, in my 20 seconds left, I just want to get it on record. In terms of the defensive legal aid, which you were an advocate for, that was not provided by President Obama. It was provided by President Trump.
That's correct.
That's correct. How interesting in that 2 minutes what she did. She got on the record that the State Department, in preparing for the confirmation hearing for this ambassador, she was prepared on how to answer questions regarding Burisma and the Bidens. And this woman, who now compares herself as she's trying to elicit sympathy because she lost her job 3 minutes early, 3 months early, didn't lose her paycheck, didn't lose her actual job, just lost her station in the Ukraine 3 months earlier than it was set to end earlier, but compares herself and her history, really sounds like to me, to people who died in Benghazi. She did nothing about it. That State Department did nothing about this investigation into the Bidens, into Burisma, the one that Joe Biden bragged about in a real statement of bribery, a real quid pro Joe.
I remember going over convincing our team, or others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. I said, I'm not going to, or we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Yeah.
And they put in place someone who was solid.
Yeah, solid. Who would not investigate Burisma and the Bidens and their corruption. And the people who were laughing in the background, that is your Council on Foreign Relations. That's where Joe Biden was bragging about using his leverage as Vice President of the United States to say, if you want $1 billion, you do what I want. And all that was in the shadow, and then we will get to the phones, all that was in the shadow of this president.
This is my last election, basically. Yeah. After my election, I have more flexibility.
ago. Yeah, I understand. I transmit this information to Vladimir and let them look.
Yeah, after my next election, I'll have more flexibility. I understand. I will transmit this to Vladimir. And Crimea was seized, and no missiles or weapons were given to your Ukraine until Donald Trump became president of the United States. And we're supposed to take this impeachment hoax seriously? It's absolutely outrageous. Thomas in Denver wants to talk about Obama, the money to Iran, and other things. So let's just get a reminder of the last president of the United States, president number 44. Oops. Come on, baby.
On our grasp, if we reach forward and fight for it and work for it.
You know, I get the same thrill up my leg, all over me, every time I hear those words. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's who's on the other side. That ought to about sell the deal. Let's get to Thomas in Denver. Thanks for waiting. Sorry that I keep prattling on so today.
Hey, morning, Randy.
Morning.
Hey, I'm going to try to move quick here, but, you know, with Joe Biden, what he just said about, or in that clip, stating go ahead and call Obama, you're not getting the money, right? Go ahead and call him.
Yeah, yeah.
That implicates him. That implicates Obama, that he knows what's going on. So he's part of this thing. And my bet is not only is Hunter Biden gotten paid, but so did Joe. I bet he took a piece of that money, and I bet Barack took a piece of that money, that monthly income. And same thing with the China money. So, you know, there was bundles and bundles, billions and billions of money, of dollars being sent to Iran. And I'm just curious how much got skimmed off the top of the, you know, line Obama's pocket on that. It was done in the dead of night. Who knows how many layers he took off the top before they shrink wrapped that. You know what I mean?
What does it say, Thomas, when someone goes from being a community organizer and a state senator to 2 years in the U.S. Senate, becomes president of the United States for two terms, and is now worth upwards of $60 million? What does that say about the whole stinking system?
Just that.
Yeah.
It stinks. They're all crooks. And I hope that they're, you know, they get to the bottom of it. And they're making headway. And, you know,
they are, Thomas.
I do want to say that at least Stefanik is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I've got texts coming in from all over and would love to see Representative Stefanik debate any of the squad. That was from Lisa. She's terrific, and we're going to be hearing and seeing and playing a whole lot more of her in the weeks ahead if this impeachment hoax continues. Thomas, I got full lines, but thank you so much for waiting. I do appreciate it.
Take care, bud.
God bless you, sir. You can grab Thomas's line. We're just phone calls the rest of the show, 303-696-1971. And when Thomas says, you know, I hope they get to the bottom of it, what do you think those folks who are at the bottom of it are thinking when they hear our attorney general just yesterday? A few days ago, he said the release of the first drop, the Horowitz IG report, is imminent. That was Barr's word. And yesterday, he opened his speech. Well, this wasn't the opening of it, but this was part of his speech yesterday to the Federalist Society.
Unfortunately, just in the past few years, we have seen these conflicts take on an entirely new character. Immediately after President Trump won election, opponents inaugurated what they called the resistance. And they rallied around an explicit strategy of using every tool and maneuver to sabotage the functioning of the executive branch and his administration. Now, resistance is the language used to describe insurgency. Connotes that the government is not legitimate. This is a very dangerous and indeed incendiary notion to import into the politics of a democratic republic.
Yes, it's just terrific. And there's a lot of applause after that line. We'll play more of the Barr speech. We've got full lines, so we've got to get to some callers. But I'll tell you what, people should be thinking about the significance that Bill Barr chose to go down that road yesterday in his speech to the Federalist. He is fertilizing the field, I believe, for the results of the investigation that are going to begin to be released. He said imminently for the first piece, the Horowitz report, very, very soon. And for those who are critical of Lindsey Graham, why isn't he holding hearings? Why isn't he subpoenaing people? I think he will next year. I think he's waiting for the investigators to do the investigation. And then he's going to read those investigations. He's going to look at those criminal referrals. I've read James Comey is one of them. And then he's going to decide who to call before the Senate. And I imagine a great deal of that fact-finding will occur before any impeachment trial is held in the Senate. So you cannot do an objective analysis of what's happening with this impeachment hoax if you don't understand the lengthy history of subterfuge and underhanded tactics and efforts to sabotage. And as Bill Barr mentioned, the resistance that started the moment Donald Trump, according to them, stole the presidency from the next in line, Hillary Clinton. My, oh my, I would not like to be a deep stater right now. Before we go to our pause, let's squeeze in Robert in Denver. He wants to talk about the No Safe Spaces movie, and that is very relevant to tonight with the 7:10 War for America event. Don't forget, 4 o'clock for the VIP. Get there early. And general admission ticket holders, that show begins at 5:30. So make sure you get those times jotted down. That's a change. Cannot wait to see you there tonight. Robert in Denver, go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Robert, and I just wanted to put in a plug for the No Safe Spaces movie. I went and saw it 2 weeks ago for my birthday with my wife. It was only at that time offered at the AMC 24 in Highlands Ranch. That's basically Broadway and C-470. But I urge your listeners to get out and take a look. It very clearly points out the tyrannical nature of the left's inclusive language and what they're trying to do to separate everybody.
Yeah, I have not seen it yet. I want to see it in a theater as opposed to online to give support to the movie. That'll get it into more movie theaters. I know we'll be playing a clip from it with Dennis Prager live in person tonight at our event. And for folks, if they can't come, they can watch it online now. I think it's like $5 to tune in on your computer and watch the whole thing starting with the main show at 5:30. So really appreciate
great news.
Yeah.
That it's in that wide of a distribution now. I mean, I have a kind of a personal stake in it. I have a daughter who's a freshman at Yale, and the opening scene pans in on Yale, actually shows where my daughter's living. And it has this very revealing scene that happened a few years ago where this woman is very much in the face of an administrator who would not essentially police what people were allowed to wear for Halloween costumes. Where she gets in his face and she says, "You are not listening to me. I want your job taken from you."
Yeah, it's incredible.
And it's just, it's unbelievable.
It really is, Robert.
No.
Well, thanks for, you know, these underlying themes, just like the Trayvon Martin hoax, are very important to be thinking about and factoring in and considering and making them impact the election results in 2020. And so, great call. Thanks for waiting to make that point, and I hope you listen all the time.
Yeah, I do as best I can. Thank you very
much. All right,
thank
you.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Robert. Mm-hmm. If you miss the show, you can always grab the podcast, too. They're absolutely free. Commercials are cut out, 710knus.com. Go to Wake Up with Randy Corporan, find the podcast there. It's really, really cool. And we've got callers still. There's a line open at 303-696-1971. James, I'm going to ask you to hold because we do have to get to a break. But I just love the texts that are coming in. Listening from the SEC Nation at the Grove in Oxford today. Just bought tickets to the Loser Bowl next Saturday night, Tennessee at Mizzou. We'll be at Mom's for Thanksgiving. Bobby and I are going. And on there. Bill in Spokane, I love what you stand for. Jesus is Lord. We got one from Tulsa, Oklahoma, just checking in. The Constitution has been rewritten to say low crimes and his demeanor. Oh, I love that. Low crimes and his demeanor. We don't like the mean, evil orange man. That is terrific from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, man, I just love you guys. 303-696-1971. One line is open. Grab it. Calls are next when we come back. 710-KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710-KNUS.
Yeah, maybe not so fast. 8:31, 29 minutes to go until the end of the show. Craig Silverman comes in at 9 o'clock. Have more to say about that in just a minute. Paul, Mike, and James, sit tight. James, you're first on the other side. Text that just came in. Randy, thanks a bunch for clarifying tonight's times. The website has the 6 p.m. streaming time. I would have been late. So one more time, everybody, if you're coming, if you've got tickets tonight, VIP ticket holders, that starts at 4. Get there early. General admission ticket holders, main event now begins at 5:30. Get there early. Cannot wait to see you all there tonight and spend some time with Michelle Malkin and Dennis Prager as well. Before we get to the phones, I just want to advance the William Barr speech. I want to encourage everybody. It's about 40 minutes. It's excellent. And in the first segment we played, he identified the opposition, the resistance, as they call themselves. And I think what he's saying is, you know, we're about to expose this. Get ready. It's real.
What it means is that instead of viewing themselves as the loyal opposition, as opposing parties have done in this country for over 200 years, they essentially see themselves as engaged in a war to cripple by any means necessary a duly elected government. A prime example of this is the Senate's unprecedented abuse of the advice and consent process.
And because of full lines, I'm going to stop that there, but it's just, this is the lens in which I view these heroic ambassadors who testified this week. This is the filter with which I view Adam Shifty Schiff and Nancy Stretch Pelosi, who stands up there and just lies through her teeth. We didn't want to impeach. We've been prayerfully considering. We haven't made our decision yet. Just lying through her teeth, because these people are the resistance. And the lawbreakers in the resistance, I truly believe it deep in my heart, are about to be exposed. James, you're next in Aurora. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, that's okay. Hey, what do you think Hillary was madder at during election night or last night when Bill came home after going on the air and speaking for Donald Trump?
Yeah, it was very interesting, wasn't it? And for people who didn't hear that, Bill, and boy, Bill sounds old now. He really does not sound well. But he said that the way he dealt with impeachment is he went about the day-to-day business of being the president. He focused on the business of the country, which is exactly what Donald Trump is doing, except that Donald Trump, knowing that he didn't commit any impeachable offenses and knowing that he's dealing with this deep state and this attack fake news media, is also punching back and punching up, punching down. And it's I think it's terrific. I'm actually really enjoying it, as harmful as I think it is, until we get to the end of it.
Correct. All right, that's all.
James, thanks for waiting. I'm glad you reminded me about that clip and we could share it with everybody. And Randy, thanks a bunch. Yeah, Kelly, man. Yeah, James in California states he can't wait to get out of there. Tell him not to come to Colorado. He's going to get more of the same. He'll be disappointed. Actually, texter, that was John, and he lives here, so he was on his way home. And the texts from out of state continue to come in. Really, really appreciative of those. Let's see who's been waiting the longest. Looks like Paul in Denver. Welcome to the show.
I went and saw the movie he just talked about,
yeah.
No Safe Spaces.
Yes, sir.
And the very first thing that hits me in the face is 9 out of 10 students on the screen are women. And we're already headed then where the situation has gone with our lady doctors. If they go on and prove they're our best blood, this, that, and the other, it is a legitimate concern that they're going to leave with either one child or no children. They're going to die, and our genetics will lose them. And I'm thinking that all these women are going to our colleges and thinking that part of what's supposed to happen there is find people to court with. And you outnumber them that bad, you're going to find a little Weasley con man like Bill Clinton, who can do anything as long as they're doing what they want to, and say anything as long as they're doing what they want to, and men whose words won't be worth hearing because they're all in the what can I get away with.
Well, it's
anyway,
it's fascinating.
I'm just deeply concerned that our colleges are no longer a fit place for American men.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating. You know, women are the majority voters now in the United States of America. And so if the Democrats, now that they're losing the black vote, if they can grab the women vote with these young minds and fill them full of all of this BS that you can say whatever you want as long as I agree with it, then we are in deep trouble. But, you know, contrary to some, I don't see that we're I see that we're on the verge. We're on a precipice. We could certainly go either way. But I think when I see all of these different groups and organizations and the pushback and the president who's willing to lead that fight, that we're in the midst of a resurgence of an understanding of the values that really do matter to a constitutional republic and will ensure our success moving forward.
Our idea of marriage is a husband providing a living, and if his is dwarfed by hers by a factor of 300, divorces are real easy to come by, particularly if anything happens. A child dies, his drug addicted, whatever, that they've got no dependence on each other in any of the formats that we were raised, maybe genetically designed to do. That women know their men. They know exactly how they like their eggs scrambled, and the men don't. They don't even know about themselves, much less her. Because they're supposed to be concentrating on new inventions, new ideas, how to make work, how to work harder, how to work yourself into the ground, to feed the family, to die for the church, to die for your family.
Paul,
That's not going to happen if the men aren't, and if the women who are graduating colleges have nobody to court with.
Paul, I hear you. You got to say your piece. I appreciate you waiting to do it. Thank you very much for calling. Paul's line is open now at 303-696-1971. I wouldn't go as far as Paul. My wife made more money than I did when I met her. She chose to stay home and raise our kids. I supported that 100% as I was getting our law practice off the ground 20 plus years ago now. And that was our choice. But I've seen plenty of very successful women, breadwinners in homes with strong men who don't feel, you know, intimidated or traditional roles are important to understand their purpose and everything. But they don't have to, everybody doesn't have to fit into the same box. And I support any relationship, and I mean any relationship, where people are loyal and loving and respectful to each other and support each other in the way they need to be supported. So 8:38, let's get one more in before the final break. And this is Michael in Denver. Thank you so much for waiting, Michael.
Great program.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for doing all of this. You're our big voice out there. I've said that before to you. The reason why I called is I wanted to talk about the mafia-style shakedown that Joe Biden pulled. And then the liberals criticized Donald Trump of mafia-style shakedowns that basically don't exist. But when they do it, it's okay. You know what I'm talking about? You got 6 hours.
Yeah,
no, I'll be on
six,
a plane
if you want that billion, hours. Want that $1 billion, do what I want. Stop the investigation of my son and the company. Go ahead.
Is that a mafia style shakedown? It sounds like it to me.
Well, it sure is a lot more than in a phone conversation with two different languages.
Can you imagine what they do to Donald Trump? He was caught on microphone saying, I'll have lots more flexibility after the election on an open mic. Does that meet the standard of investigating treason or bribery? What were they talking about? What was there bribery involved? There was no investigations. Nobody questioned it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Michael.
I
didn't stop him. I don't know why we lost him. Well, thank you, Michael. We got to take our pause anyway. John, sit tight. We'll get to you in a minute. Love this text. Hi, Randy. In talking about Barack Hussein Obama.
This is my last election. Yeah. After my election, I have more flexibility.
I understand. I'll transmit that information to Vladimir. Not one of these hero ambassadors this week thought it was important to look into that conversation just before the re-election of Barack Hussein Obama. And they certainly didn't care enough to look into Biden's bragging at this very special place, the Council on Foreign Relations, about his bribery, his quid pro quo. You don't get the $1 billion. I'm out of here in 6 hours unless you do what I want. They didn't want to look at that at all. And the texter says, hi, Randy, let's not forget that previous to the Russians invading Crimea, Barry, President Obama, allowed the Russians to invade Georgia. He was president-elect at the time, and he exhorted the Georgians to remain calm. That's Richard in Wooten. Or I mean, that's Richard. That's Richard. Anyway, 18 minutes to go until 9 o'clock, and final couple of minutes of Wake Up with Randy Corporan on the other side. We'll get to all of your calls. They'll just have to be short and sweet. So stay with us, 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710.
All right, we're wrapping up the show. And last week at the end of my show, with Craig sitting in the control room, I reminded him and you that back in October he had said he would talk with other hosts, debate the issues around impeachment, and that I immediately accepted by text. And so I reminded him of that. And then I hopped in the car, had some things to do and a plane to catch, and didn't think much more of it until people started contacting me and telling me that Craig was talking about me. Here's what he said.
I heard it said that I'm prosecuting the case. I'm not the prosecutor on the case. I'm an analyst of what's going on, and we talk about the facts of the case objectively here in my island of independence, and I will debate people on the issue, and I look forward to that.
And that's fine. I wouldn't have said anything about that. I'd have continued to wait, remind folks that I'm ready and looking forward to doing that as well. But then Craig went further. I had Joel Gilbert, the filmmaker of the Trayvon hoax, and we talked about its importance to the 2020 election. We explained even more about that in the 7 o'clock hour with Jack Cashel. In case you missed the hour, go back and get the podcast, because, and there's some things I know that I think are going to happen that I can't talk about yet that are going to make Trayvon Martin and all of the issues surrounding that, Black Lives Matter, the Democrats' ownership of the black vote for decades and decades, all very, very relevant to 2020. And so we had Joel Gilbert on, and Craig thought it was important to comment on that.
I understand what's going on because I listen to 710 KNUS. I watch as much Fox News as I can anymore, but they are largely avoiding the issue. They'd rather talk about, oh, I don't know, Trayvon Martin.
So obviously he's referring to me because I had just spent 20, 30 minutes or so talking with filmmaker Joel Gilbert about Trayvon Martin.
Back in 2012, 2013, I believe that Trayvon Martin was attacking George Zimmerman. I don't need a movie to see that. We watched the trial, and it was an interesting trial, and it had the right result with George Zimmerman being acquitted. If he would have been convicted, that would have been horrible, because I know that George Zimmerman was the guy who was screaming as Trayvon Martin was pounding him before George Zimmerman shot him to death. So I don't think there's any great mystery there. It was a great talk topic, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. I'd rather talk about what's going on right now.
Yeah, me too. And I've accepted the challenge. I'll take the debate anytime and look forward to it. But I just think it's inappropriate to talk about other people's programming, especially if you don't understand the basis for it or the significance of it. Anyway, let's get to some final calls. Got to keep them short. John in Denver, welcome to the show.
Yes, Randy, we've got to look at a long-term picture here of lying. Remember Senator Reid with the Romney election. He says, Senator, you didn't pay your taxes for 10 years. And then after the election, he was asked about it, that it was a lie. And he said, well, he didn't get elected, did he?
Yeah.
What we've got here
doesn't matter.
Years. Yes, what we've got here is 3 years of one fabrication after another. And the latest impeachment effort is a complete fabrication and a complete lie, and they've been caught in it, and their evidence is empty. But it's a strategy. It's a strategy of one lie after another. The Democrat Party has become an empty suit. They have nothing, and this is what they're doing, and it needs to be called out in those terms, that it's all a big lie. And that is their strategy.
John, I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you very much for waiting so long to make those final points. Have a great weekend, sir. Hope to hear from you again next week.
Thank you.
Oops. And Yeah, we just don't have enough time for any more calls. But this to me was one of the seminal moments of the week with Ambassador Yovanovitch, who was being questioned by Representative Chris Stewart out of Utah.
Do you have any information regarding the President of the United States accepting any bribes?
No.
Do you have any information regarding any criminal activity that the President of the United States has been involved with at all?
No.
Thank you. Thank you for answering that directly. The American people know this is nonsense. The American people know this is unfair.
Yeah, they absolutely 100% and surely do. It's outrageous. And probably some of the best information you got was Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yermak on September 1st, 2019 in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. That was a sworn statement of one of these fine witnesses. All right, the conversation will continue. More impeachment hearings next week. I'm Randy Corcoran. Always remember, never forget, God loves you, so do I. Remember the new times for tonight.